Father, we worship you. God, we give you praise, we give you honor, we give you glory. God, with every breath that we breathe, God, let it bring you praise, let it bring you honor, let it bring you glory. Let it magnify your holy name. God, let it give testimony to your goodness, to your love, to your mercy, to your grace, to your forgiveness, to your eternal life that you've promised us. If we'll choose your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. God, that every breath we breathe will glorify you. Father, we thank you. God, we give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory because of who you are, the Lord God Almighty, the great I am. Father, we praise you today. God, I ask your blessing upon those gathered here today, those listening online, those viewing online today, Lord God. God, that you would bless them according to the promises of your word. God, as they seek your face, God, as they turn to you with their request and petition and prayers, Lord God, that you would meet their needs, God, according to your riches and glory. God, that you would meet their needs in their time of hardship, that you would carry them through the storms of life. God, that you would show them how you walk with them each and every day. God, make yourself known to them today, to us today. Father, we thank you that you are alive and well. We worship you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys go ahead and have a seat. Amen. This is Miss Camille's first time leading a worship set. Isn't that awesome? We love seeing our young people get out of their comfort zone, step behind the keyboard or the guitar or a microphone, and say, hey, I think God's given me a talent and I want to use it for his glory. Isn't that awesome? I think it's awesome, and I'm excited. So before we dismiss kids, we have one quick, awesome announcement. On the 22nd of the month, directly after service, we're going to go to the boat ramp in Kamiai and do some baptism. Yeah, that's awesome. So if you're here today and would like to be baptized, have not yet, plan on the 22nd. If you're inviting friends and family that aren't here, we're going to plan to do that at 12:30. That's the official time, and I will have to hurry to get there, but I will be there. Or you guys can start without me. If you want to get baptized, let me know, and we'll get you on the schedule. If not, just show up to the boat ramp and something appropriate, and we'll dunk you in the water into the family of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's awesome. People wanting to get baptized, giving the public confession of their faith and Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Saying, I want the world to know I love Jesus. That's an exciting, exciting day. So come join us, even if you're not going to get dunked. Just come join us, be in support of the body of Christ. That would be awesome. So kids are dismissed to children's church. Ages 3 to 5th grade have classes available over in the East Wing. Parents, if you could sign your children into class. And then remember to retrieve them after class. That's always helpful. The janitors just never know where to put the extra kids when they're in here cleaning. So they put them to work. And if you have children 0 to 2 years of age, the nursery is available behind the window titled Bookstore in the back. You're welcome to go in there. It does have audio and visual. You can still participate in the service and have a little more privacy if you like. And as always, you and your children are welcome to sit right here and enjoy the service as a family. So, I'm excited. I'm a little out of practice. I've been off for so many weeks. I don't even know where to start. In prayer? Can we still pray in church? Is that okay? So, Father, we thank you, Lord God. God, for your grace, for your mercy. God, for your call on our lives, Lord God, and we thank you for the opportunity, God, to partner with you in ministry, God, in delivering your word of truth to your people, God, to minister to hearts and lives that they would be forever changed by your Son, Jesus Christ, and by your glorious works throughout the rest of their days of their lives. Father, we thank you, and I ask, God, that you would use me today, God, to clearly and accurately proclaim your word, proclaim your truth. God, that it would penetrate the hearts and minds of those who would listen, those who would hear. God, that it would be food for their soul, that it would be seeds that would be of a planting of a great harvest of the fruit of your Spirit developing in their lives. And Father, I just thank you for the privilege and honor to partner in your kingdom. God, use me today for your glory. Use the ears of the hearer today to receive your truth. Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about a really fun topic today. Identity. Do you know what your identity is? In the world today, we are having severe identity crisis. All across the globe, it's not here in the Valley, it's not just here in America, it's across the globe. And if we go way back in time, it's all across the Bible. Since the beginning of time, the enemy of your soul, Satan, Lucifer, the devil, whatever you want to call him, he has been attacking the identity of the kingdom of God. God created us, the human race, since the beginning of time in his image and likeness. Our identity has got to be grounded in our Creator. And if we're not careful, the enemy will come in and he attacks and he attacks and he attacks. I just recently taught a hunter safety course, and in that course is a great portion. About a quarter of your questions are on animal identification, to make sure that when you're hunting a species of animal, you're shooting the right animal so you don't get arrested and lose your license or go to jail or the fullest extent of the law that could come against you. But we as believers in Christ Jesus have got to know what our identity is. There is the general broad, yes, I am a son of the Lord God Almighty. That's my big core identity. But further than that, who does God want me to be? Of course, he wants me to be a father and a husband and currently a pastor. But what does he call you to be independently as an individual? For each of us, that looks a little different, and it may change throughout your life several times, the ministry God is calling you to. Because there will become a day when I'll be an empty nester, probably. Right? Unless we just get foster kids for the rest of our lives and never have an empty nest. But my role is going to change a little bit when my kids are off and becoming their own adults and how I relate to them. My ministry to them is going to be a little different than when I have them in the home, when it's my job to teach, train, develop, build, instill in them their identity of who Christ says they are. So identity is very important. So first of all, who does God say you are? Not who does everyone else say you are, who's the world say you are, who's your best friend say you are, but who does God say you are? The key element in our identity is who God says we are. And we find this passage, Psalms 139. Psalms 139 gives us a little glimpse. The psalmist writes in verse 13, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to pass." God knew us before our very existence. He created and formed us. So part of our identity has to be, God had plans for me before I existed. God had a plan for my life. He knew who I would be. He knew what gifts and talents and abilities I would have. He knew what he would entrust me with. God has a plan for your life. But the devil would like to come along and steal that away. The devil would like to bring in comparisons. I fall prey to this occasionally. There's a lot of great ministers out there in the world. And I look at them and go, man, if I could only be like 10% of how good they are, I'd be a good pastor. And the temptation is to fall prey to that and lose my identity in who God's called Arby to be and try to build like whoever I think is awesome and amazing, one of my mentors, one of my spiritual fathers, maybe a pastor around the globe that I've never met, but just listen to their messages. I'm like, wow, what an anointing, what an amazing speaker. But the devil would love to come in and make you compare yourself to others and say, well, I'm just not that good because I'm not like him. Well, guess what? Your identity is not in them. Your identity is in your Heavenly Father. You need a personal identification number. You need a PIN. And it's unique to you and you alone. God has created you for a purpose and has a plan for you specifically. So don't fall prey to the temptations of comparing yourself to one another. The Bible tells us that the body of Christ is made up of many parts. Each of us are a part of that body. And we all work together to complete the fullness of the body of Christ. And if I'm not doing my part because I feel inadequate or I feel like I don't measure up, then the body is suffering because I'm not walking in my personal identity in Christ Jesus. So don't compare yourself to one another. We need unity in the body and not division. Sometimes that comparison would cause us to isolate. Well, I'm not like them, so I'm going to move over here. Well, I'm not like them. When I say unity, I don't mean that we all agree and think the same way and we all have the same ideas. I think of my son, and as we're raising him and training him, and he's frustrated with life at one point, and I'm like, you know, what's up? He goes, I'm just not like you. And my response was, great. You're not supposed to be like me. But he felt the pressures of the people around him saying, why aren't you like your dad? Why don't you love to hunt? Why don't you want to be a guide? Why don't you want to be like your dad? Which is great if he wants to. But he has his own personal identity in Christ Jesus and who God's created and formed him to be. And I don't want to mold him into another Arby. I want to mold him into the man of God he's called and created to be. So don't lose your identity in trying to follow or copycat someone else. We are not cookie cutters. We are unique. We are personalized specifically. God has even went through the trouble of numbering the hairs on your head, which means each individual hair on your head has a number. Not that he just counted them all, but he knows them all. Every intricate detail about you and I, God knows. And he's made it uniquely for you and I. So whose report will you believe? What reports do you believe over your life? What reports do you believe about yourself? In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, have just been these 12 spies sent into the promised land. And they're coming back. They're getting ready to deliver their report to Moses. They've just went in. God said, hey, this is your inheritance. This is your promise. I'm giving it to you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And they went in and checked it out. And they're like, God didn't lie. This is amazing. This is fruitful. This is in abundance. And everything's just, it's wonderful. It's just like he said. But there's this one problem. He didn't say there would be giants living in the land. And they lost their identity because they believed what their eyes were showing them rather than what their God had told them. They believed to the point of, yeah, it's everything God said it would be until it came to the giants. In verse 30 in chapter 13 of Numbers, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." Two of the 12 said, "Yeah, we can do it." But right here we see division or dissension in the body. In verse 31, but the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there were of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Do you hear the identity switch? We just went from a free, delivered, provided for people carrying out the promises of God and his power and authority to grasshoppers. How easily does our identity shift with our circumstances, our situation, because we look at this world instead of this world? We're supposed to be kingdom-minded. If God said it, he will do it. If God promised it, he will provide it. I can't see the end result, but it's there. The last year and a half has been extremely trying. We have suffered attack after attack after attack on every level imaginable. And going into sabbatical, I wasn't sure if I would return. I said, "God, you got to get it clear in me that this is what you want me to do. I need to know this is my identity in you right now at this point in my life. Or I'm pulling the plug, because I turn down job offers every month that are a lot more lucrative in this world and could take a lot better care of my family in this world." I said, "But God, I got to know, because I've been accused, I've been spoken against, I've been belittled, I've been told I'm not good enough, I've been told my preaching style sucks, been told I'm not called, right down to my clothes I wear." Talk about personal, talk about my shorts and t-shirt. But really, it's been rough and it's been hard. And I say that to say this, because each of you have your own identity that Christ has called you to, and the devil will come and send the same attacks to your door and try to disqualify you. And you need to get alone with God. Say, "God, I need to hear who you say I am. I need to know that I'm walking in the fullness of who you want me to be." Because if that's where I am, then bring on the attacks. Bring on the accusations. I don't care, because I'm walking in his authority and his anointing. But God, if I'm out of line and I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I'll move. Just tell me what you want me to do, God. You got my yes. If you want me to go to Africa, I'll go to Africa. I hate the heat and it would not be fun, but I would give God my yes. If you want me to go to Alaska, I'm packing this afternoon. Did you guys hear that too? Is that just me? But I have counselors in my life. I have friends in my life. I have spiritual mentors in my life that I seek for advice and guidance and counsel at each one of these turns in my life. Say, "This is where I'm at, guys. If God doesn't want me here, I'll step down. If he has somebody else that he wants in this pulpit leading this house at this time, I'm happy to let it go." So through sabbatical, it was a war zone. It was not at all what I expected, not at all what I needed, thought I needed or wanted. It was like spiritual warfare 301. I don't think it was 101. I think it was 301. And it was like, really, there was one day of rest in the whole thing for me. The rest of it was just turmoil and inner churnings and like not at peace and like, what am I going to do when I returned, if I returned? God, where are you taking me? And Kathleen and I sat the last night, Saturday night, we were sitting talking, and the next Sunday was our last day on sabbatical. We were sitting talking, and she's like, you know, how's it been for you? And I'm like, frustrating. I thought sabbatical was supposed to be restful and rejuvenating and wonderful. And, oh, it's vacation. No, it's not vacation. I'm like, I'm frustrated. Like, I don't feel rested. I don't feel peaceful. And I'm just upset. And we sat and talked, and it wasn't what we expected sabbatical to be. And so we went to the beach the next morning instead of coming to church because we're supposed to go enjoy our last day, right? So we went to the beach and we're sitting there in our little beach chairs enjoying the sunshine, and this gal recognized us, comes walking over and said, hey, I was praying for you guys. I was praying for you guys this morning. And I felt like God wanted me to find you and say this. He sees you. And he knows sabbatical wasn't everything you wanted it to be. And he sees the war zone you're in, basically. He wants you to know that he has set things in motion through the sabbatical that are of his plan and his will. And he will take care of you. And just like pretty much our conversation from the night before, she's just pounding nails. It's like, okay, God, I got it. It wasn't what I wanted, but apparently it was what he wanted. And if we will listen, and if we will stay still long enough and not just run. So I did have a really good job offer while I was on sabbatical. And I could have just pulled the plug, and I wanted to pull the plug and just run because it's guiding, and guiding's really easy for me. It's my dream job. That's what I'm going to do in heaven. So book now because I'm getting full. But God will send you ministers if you will sit in the waiting and sit before him. Say, God, I need clarity. And not just pull the plug when you don't get clarity, but wait until you get clarity. So it was literally the last hour. The last hours of sabbatical when God steps in and says, hey, I see you. I see your frustration. Because all sabbatical, I'm praying and seeking God, and it's like empty, nothing, empty, nothing. I'm like, God, I need an answer. I need an answer. And God will give you that answer, but the answer is in your identity of whose you are and who he's called you to be and what he says about you. You don't have to listen to the voices that say you're not enough. You don't have to give in to the voices that give you guilt and shame and condemnation. There is a place for that. It's called conviction of the Holy Spirit that leads you to repentance, to turn your heart back to God. But it's not in condemnation. It's not in belittling. It's not in degrading. But it's in love, to turn your heart back to your Heavenly Father. So get alone with God. Get it clear in you. What does God say? So I had to get it clear in me. God, what do you say? God said this, I've chosen you, I've called you, and you've said yes. So keep saying yes. I'm like, okay, God. I don't know what the next season's going to look like. I don't know what God's up to. I know it's something great, and I can't wait to see the next greater awakening that God has in store. And I know that we have not yet seen the release of his Holy Spirit upon our valley in workings and wonders and signs and miracles. And there's an outpouring of his Spirit coming that we need to get ready for. The first step in getting ready for that is in repentance, turning our hearts back to him, so that we are in right alignment with our identity and who God says we are, so that each of us are walking and functioning in the anointing and authority God has given us each and every day, wherever that would take us. We're not all called to pastoral ministry. Some of us are called to vocational ministry, workplace, marketplace ministry. Some of us are called to retirement ministry. We get to witness to people while we're fishing on the shores of the river or out in our boats. I'm not in that boat yet. I'm not in the retirement community. Actually, pastors usually don't have a retirement plan on this earth, but the retirement plan is out of this world. Some of you will get that later. It's heaven. It's heaven. One thing God showed me during our sabbatical was things aren't always as they appear. Which I know that holistically. But it was a good reminder because I'm going through sabbatical going, this isn't how I saw it. This isn't how I wanted it to unfold. And we had planned to do some camping and fishing and backpacking maybe. And the smoke was so thick. The heat was so hot. It was like, don't go outside. Because it was nasty. There were lots of nasty days. But it gave us time to sit inside and read and pray and reflect. So things aren't always as they appear. When those 12 spies went into the promised land, 10 of them were looking with physical, human, worldly vision. Said, oh my, those guys are giants. 2 of them went in and looked with the promise of God in their heart, knowing who they were, knowing their identity. We are sons of the Lord God Almighty. We are his chosen royal priesthood. And he said it's our promised land. We're going to go take hold of it. How do you look at life around you? Do you look at what you physically see? Go, this isn't good. There are physical things around us, and we are part of a physical world. But we are just spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. Not human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. But we should be living for something greater than this world. Something greater than ourselves. Once we realize our identity in Christ Jesus and who he's called us to be. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7. For we live by faith and not by sight. This whole passage is talking about awaiting our new resurrected heavenly body. But while we're here on this earth, that's what we're looking to. We should be kingdom-minded in the aspect of I'm not living for this world. I'm living for that world. I'm called to be a part of God's kingdom on this earth. How does that cause me to respond and act? Several years back, probably 20 now, it's been a while, I was out hunting mountain lions with my hound dogs, and I turned loose on this cat, and eventually darkness came, and the dogs were still out trailing the cat, and I'm out trailing the dogs, and so we're wandering around in the dark with dogs and cat, and snow's blowing, and it's foggy, and it's almost like a blizzard. And I'm in an area that I'm pretty familiar with, but it's like roly-poly, floppy, and there's about 1,000 acres like that with no real definite terrain. And I finally find my dogs, and it's a horrible, nasty night, and snow's falling out of the trees like enough at a whack that it buries my dog when it falls. And I can't see but 10 or 15 feet at best. And so I'm like, okay, I know the truck's that way. So I wander out to the truck, and pretty soon I'm on the brakes of the river, which is still 3,000 feet down the mountain. But I can hear semis on the highway, so I know my truck's that way, not that way. So I turn around and walk back to my truck, and Pretty soon I'm on the brakes of the river again. I'm like, but I just left here and was headed the right way, and what's going on? And so I turned around and walked back to my truck, and I'm on the brakes of the river again. I'm like, what is going on? Like, I know where I'm at. I know where I'm supposed to be going, and it's that direction, and turn around, face. And so finally I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to get a compass out. Sometimes in our lives we wander around looking for identity as if we're in the snowstorm. And God's given us this great compass. And we just keep running back into the same problem over and over and over. How many times do you want me to do it? And over and over again. And we just keep crashing into that wall over and over. And God's like, your compass. Use your compass. Because I pulled out my compass and I knew I needed to head south to find my truck. And I knew my truck had munchies and a warm thermos full of coffee. And if I could just get there, it would be yummy. Might have had some donuts too. So I pulled out my compass and put it on south and walked south. And I found my truck. It was that easy. But in the midst of the storm, I had lost vision. I had lost clarity. I had lost my bearings. At one time, I was following the dog track on the lion track and made a little circle, probably as big as this building, and there's the lion track in my tracks. He was running, literally running circles around me. Sometimes we just get lost in the storm and we lose our bearings. And we need to remember, or we lose our identity and who we are. We need to go back to the compass. Who does God say I am? What does God say about me? And over the next few weeks, we're going to dive into that a little bit deeper. And maybe you would say today, well, I don't really know. I don't feel called to any of the fivefold ministries, and I'm not real sure what God's plan for my life is. So let's start here. Be yourself. Be who God created you to be. Don't be a cookie-cutter Christian. Try to imitate people as they imitate Christ, yes. But as an individual of who God has created you to be, your personal identification number, your personal uniqueness that God has poured into you. Because you are exactly who God has created you to be. It's 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4. For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. Can we agree that God created you and I, us, humans? So if God created us, we were created to be good. We are good in His sight. As His creation, we are good. So we're not to be rejected. Do you ever reject yourself? Anybody? Am I the only guilty one? Oh, good. There's honest people in church today. This is great. I often reject myself. But then I look at this passage and go, wait a minute, God created me, He says I'm good, so I shouldn't be rejecting what God's created. That means I need a perspective shift. I need to realize my identity and who He says I am. And receive everything with thanksgiving. Receive yourself with thanksgiving, your identity, who you are. God, I thank You that You made me. Created me fearfully, wonderfully made in Your image and likeness. God, I thank You. Teach me to use my personality, my traits, my gifts, my talents to bring You glory and honor. Teach me. Because that's what we're called to do as His sons and daughters, to bring Him glory and honor. Psalms 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. So what are you created to do? To give glory to God. To give honor to God. So whatever I'm doing, being myself, it should be bringing glory and honor to God. I can be myself and do that. I'm a little goofy sometimes. Maybe even a little crazy sometimes. I'm getting a yes. Two yeses. I got two yeses. I'm different. They even made a commercial about me. Arby's is different. Difference good. Anybody else have a commercial? Am I the only one? It was possibly about the beef and cheddar, but I'm going to own it. But be yourself and glorify God. That's your identity in Christ Jesus, to be who he's created and called you to be and to bring him glory and honor. If we take it a step further, if we boil it down in a nutshell, Matthew 22. A couple other things that we can do every single day of our lives, walking out the identity we have in Christ Jesus. Matthew 22, verse 37, he's being asked, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says this. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. So whatever you're doing, being yourself, give glory, praise, and honor to God. Love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love everyone around you as you love yourself. Meaning, I understand my identity of who Christ has called me to be. I am created in his image and likeness, and he calls me good. And if I'm good, I'm going to give thanksgiving for being good in his image and likeness. And I'm going to take care of God's things. And if I'm one of his things, I'm going to love me. And I'm supposed to love those around me like I love me. And if I love me as one of God's things, I should be loving those around me as one of God's people, his chosen ones, his sons, his daughters. Are they all walking in the fullness of the knowledge of who he is? No. Are they all walking in the identity of who God has called them to be? No. Am I called to love them anyway? Absolutely. You and I are called to love those around us. I think about the climate around us. The COVID climate, the Delta climate, the political climate, the election climate that we had last fall. Lots of nasty stuff going on in our world today, if we allow it. But we're called to give honor and praise and glory to God. We're called to love him, and we are called to love people. If we put those things first in our lives, put them first in our lineup of our identity of who we are, if that's our first action, then we'll point people to Jesus. Because regardless of what happens in the political climate, regardless of what happens in the virus climate, God's still good. And there's still people dying every day that don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That you and I may be the only one that will reach them for the kingdom of God. And if I'm not on point of who I am in Christ Jesus, I may miss an opportunity that could afford someone salvation. So make sure you know your identity, whose you are, who you've called to be, what you are called to do each and every day, and put God's will first in your life, that we can go forth bringing him glory, honor, and praise in all that we do. God is more than enough. God's more than enough. We do live in a physical world. And we are part of a physical world. But we serve a God of the supernatural world, of the heavenlies and high places. I heard a good word this morning in Sunday school. We don't war against flesh and blood, but we war against principalities, authorities in high places, strong places, demons of hell, Satan. If we take the battle there first, we don't have to worry about the battle of this world. Spend time in prayer, spend time in the Word. So God, what would you have me do today? Who would you have me speak to today? God, where would you have me go today? Because God has placed each and every one of you in a unique place in society that you could bring forth his will wherever you are, whatever you're doing. If our eyes are open and we look for the opportunity, if we walk in the identity of I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I am a son or daughter of God Most High here to do his work, then we'll change the world one person at a time for the glory of God. And you know the world needs God. Amen. Wayne, would you come, please?
Thank you, Arby. So, Arby, in my studies of the scripture this week, I came across a definition of the word Satan. In the Hebrew context, it means accuser. And I just want to let you know, don't let Satan accuse you of not being good enough. Don't believe that lie. I've been going to church off and on throughout my whole life, 60 some odd years. And I will publicly proclaim right here that you are one of the most impactful ministers in my life. You have a calling, brother. And I want you to know that you have my support in that calling. And I'm sure there are dozens of other people here in this room with the same feeling. So God bless you and thank you. Arby, look around. That's for you, brother. Let us as a congregation help you magnify your calling so that we also in turn magnify our own callings. We all have a calling, don't we, brothers and sisters? And sometimes it takes a long time to sort it out. I know I'm still sifting around, but it's good to be with a body of believers to help us be on that straight and narrow path. So with that, let's bring the ushers forward and we'll pray for the offering. And for folks who are online viewing, you can submit an offering or submit your tithes online at www.tlc4me.cc. With that, let's pray for our offering. God in heaven, we're so grateful for how you bless us, Father. You bless us with a beautiful church building to worship in and to be protected from the storms. And Father, we just pray for your protection over us in the storms of life. We're grateful, Father, for this opportunity to give our tithes and our offerings. And may it magnify, Father, your kingdom, not only here in this valley, but throughout the world. And may our offerings, Father, and our worship and our prayer and our fellowship always magnify your presence in each of our hearts. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.